Well, moro moro. Good morning. Goeiemôre. Wat ben duka? IT, how are you at this very morning? Welcome. Our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of eight, and David Shombe just passed over the mic to the big man, to the big mic. So welcome, and thanks. It's a pleasure to have you joining us this morning, either from the very early morning on other programs that we have been airing. So thank you for making sure, and also for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company. And at this time, thank you for choosing this time to get to be in our company. It's always a pleasure. Pleasure for me and for every one of us here to be in your company. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories and trends and numbers, and to make those trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always, always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation as well. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. Good morning and welcome. You know, thank you for joining and getting on the boat. So we're still early, and we are right at the beginning of our show, Unpacking the Day. So good morning and welcome. And we're coming to you. We're coming direct to you from Ondangwa Studio. So we moved to the great region, to the great Oshana region. And thanks for joining me this morning. As usual, all right, Africa, let's jump into a few significant event from on this day in Africa. So here is what happened on November the 19th throughout history on the continent. First up, back in 1977, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat. So the Egyptian president, somebody would have said, who president is that? Egyptian President Anwar Sadat made a groundbreaking visit to Israel. On this day, he became the first Arab leader to officially visit Israel and address the Knesset, which is the Israeli parliament. So it was a bold move, signaling a potential shift in Arab-Israel relations. So this visit eventually helped pave the way of the Camp David Accord, where Egypt and Israel made peace just a couple of years later. So a huge moment in the Middle East that time. Now let's fast forward to 1968. On November 19th in Mali, a military coup took place. Lieutenant Moussa Traoré led the overthrow of President Modibo Keita. So this marked the beginning of nearly 23 years of military rule in Mali, reshaping the country's political landscape for a number of years. And just a few years ago, on November 19, 2017, Zimbabwe was in the midst of a major political crisis. Robert Mugabe, who had ruled the country for nearly four decades, was sacked by his own party, ZANU-PF. So this dramatic event set off a chain reaction that eventually led to his resignation, ending his long and controversial presidency. Finally, let not forget, today is International Men's Day. Today, at last, there is a day dedicated to men. Whoa, we don't even, not even out there. I can tell you, not many men, as you listen to me now, not many men out there actually know that today is International Men's Day. Do you know what? I'm going to blame the women. I'm going to blame you, woman. If you're listening, I'm blamed, because everything is about Women's Days, Mother's Days, women something. There's so many women something that we don't even, we can't, there's nothing at this. We just suffocated by your days. So now today, no, today is our day, guys. It's our day at last, a day for us, International Men's Day. What do we get? What do we get on this day? I can tell you, we get absolutely nothing, nada. We probably not gonna anything. I didn't get anything so far, and there was not even, oh, happy International Men's Day. There was nothing even, you know. So this is a day that's observed worldwide, focusing on men's health, gender equality, and celebrating a positive male model, male role models. So, yeah. So let's celebrate this day. Maybe we can hang out, just the guys, men's. Let's get out lunchtime or some when after work, and just, you know, have our day. Let's take care of ourselves, because nobody's gonna do that. So happy International Men's Day to every man who is actually, all right, let's be specific, who is actually a role model, not any just, you know, shira thampampa, shiri mono ke shiri motashi thana, oshike, you know, tashi wishing for International Men's Days. No. This is for those who are actually a role models, okay? Happy International Men's Day. So that's your on this day in Africa, you know, big moment and a chance to reflect on where we have been and where we are going. So, and let's look at what is our thought for the day today, Wednesday, November the 19th. Is it Wednesday or Tuesday? Well, it is Wednesday. All right. So, Wednesday, November the 19th, the thought for the day, never underestimate the power of stupid people in a large groups. Never underestimate the power of stupid people in the large group. So, well, it's a proverb in which language? It's in Aroba language. It's one of the Nigerian language. The proverb is a caution, all right? A caution, don't assume that a majority is always wise. So just because something is popular or has mass support, it doesn't make it inherently right or smart. Okay? So the proverb actually encourages vigilance, to be very, very vigilant. Question group decisions, avoid blind, you know, conformity, and value independent thinking as well. So, in a sense, the proverb actually serves as a caution to be wary of blindly following the crowd and the potential consequences of mass stupidity in society, in political, and also or in cultural context. So, never underestimate the power of stupid people in a large group. So make sure that when you choose to follow the group, you must be cautious. You must be question the group decision, question, avoid blind conformity, and value independent thinking. Well, that's our thought for the day. All right, and good morning and welcome. And this is Eagle FM. and you're just tuned in Unpacking the Day. So what do you expect? What can you expect in the show this morning? Fully packed as usual. We're going to look at the G20 summit that's coming up over the weekend. How this historic summit actually will impact Africa. It's happening the first time on the continent. So how would that actually impact Africa? And we also going to look at, coming up.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
Right, definitely the you in UNAM is definitely you. And what you can look forward as well, one thing that we can also talk about is there is in the pipeline, there's a new national carrier called Namibia Air. They should have made it maybe Namib Air. What is Namibia Air? It doesn't sound, you know. So, is that a strategic investment or it could be a high stakes, you know, gamble that we are taking again? All right. We're going to look at that as well. I know that France looked at that as well yesterday in Kutha Mosha. So, and if we have time, we're also going to look at our front page, news this morning in the Villager. Hangwena advised to leverage gateway to Angola. So that's also on our agenda. Just make sure that you stay tuned to unpack this together. So good morning and welcome. So we will be back in a second.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, good morning Namibia, and good morning my dear listener. You are tuned in to Unpacking the Day right here on Eagle FM, your home for all the latest news, insightful commentaries, you know, whether it's from Early Morning Scoop, Unpacking the Day, Kutha Mosha, The Raider, Sisuma Salicho, Ngundana Dingi, you know, and Home Run, you know, insightful commentary and critical analysis. So, I'm your host, Michael Chiavelli. Thanks for joining me. Now, we got a big topic on the table as we look ahead to the G20 summit in Johannesburg this week, actually over the weekend. There's a lot of conversation spinning around the event. So a lot spinning around the event. It is an opportunity, but also a challenge. Some people say it, some sees this as an opportunity, and I'm going to tell you why. But others also see it as a challenge, especially for country in the global south. So now today we're diving into how this historic summit will impact Africa and how the absence maybe of the global superpowers like US and China maybe could change the dynamic for developing nations, including Namibia. So let's unpack that together. Let's just get into it. Now, I want you to picture this. Johannesburg, November 2025, the world leaders gathered for the G20 summit. But this time, it's different. How different? For the first time in history, the summit will be held on African soil. Right on the African soil. The theme is solidarity, equality, sustainability. All definitely all fitting for Africa. It's solidarity, equality, and sustainability. So, South Africa, as the host country, is pushing to center the needs of developing nations, of course. And issues like debt, inequality, climate change, and food security. So they are all on the table. Okay? This time, we put them on the table, right on the table. It's not something that, you know, discuss on this or on the side while, you know, focusing on issues of the big guns. Now, we put that on the table. Come on, let's talk about debt. Let's talk about inequality. Let's talk about climate change. We need that money to be able to, you know, to transition. So food security, all the issues, all right, they are right on the table. South Africa's goal is very clear. So it's very clear, shift global economic governance to reflect the priority of the global south. So that's the goal. You shift the global economic governance to reflect the priorities also of the global south. Now, the U.S. president won't be attending China's leader, Xi Jinping, is also staying away. Instead, a lower level, you know, Chinese official will, the prime minister, I think, a lower level will be representing the country. And this absence have some, for some people, this actually have raised some eyebrows. Why the most powerful, you know, nations are not attending. Powerful leaders are not attending. Nations probably like China is being represented. Now, the G20 has long been a platform where the superpowers, especially the U.S. and China, play a dominant role in shaping the global, you know, decisions. So, but with them out of the picture at the leadership level now, so could this summit maybe this summit finally allow the global south and particularly Africa, you know, to take the spotlight? Are we capable though of taking the spotlight? Or are we still actually saying yes, sir, even if they are not there? Yeah. Even if the China is not there, the US is not there, they still actually, maybe we're still bowing and saying yes, sir, even when they are not there. So, but are we capable to take the spotlight while this leadership, while this, you know, the superpowers aren't around? Eh? So when the cats are gone, the mouse get time to play. You know, maybe this is our time now to, you know, to get the spotlight, to take the spotlight, because the cats are gone. All right. Now, first, let's talk about the implication of maybe of this absence. What does it mean? Eh? The absence of these big guns. What does it mean? The U.S. has been a key player in international forum like the G20 for many years, for decades. But now they have decided to skip the event, and they are citing the reason why they skip the event probably is because it's taking place in South Africa, and they are citing that South Africa's domestic policies. That's the problem. So the domestic policy is the problem why we aren't coming. You know. So while it might seem like a diplomatic snap for some things that as some kind of like a diplomatic step. Some analysts argue that the absence of such a polarizing figure, you know Trump, may actually open up more space for another nation actually to take the lead. So we shouldn't be bothered that too much. Maybe someone will rise. So without the pressure of a stronger U.S. presence, African nation, like maybe South Africa themselves, could push for policies that directly benefit their economies. So something that has been sidelined in previous summit, in most of the summit, in those summit, African agenda is not really taken seriously. So, and then you got China. So then you got China, instead of the President Xi, Beijing is sending a premier, Ling Yang. All right. Excuse my language if I have actually insulted you. So yeah, Li Yang. All right. So some say this reflects, China's shifting diplomatic strategy. That's why. So, but perhaps even a quiet alignment with actually Russia. Whose leader Vladimir Putin won't be attending either. Now, could this absence of key leaders create an opportunity for China to consolidate its influence at the summit, or will the stage be set for a more diverse conversation? Because US is not there. With middle powers like India, Brazil, South Africa, you know, could be leading the change or the charge for that for different this time. All right. So now, Namibia, where do we fit into all this? Where do we fit into all of this? We still do. You remember what is on the table? Well, the G20 focuses on the debt sustainability. The debt, which is an issue for us. Climate change is also an issue for us. Food security is directly relevant. Is directly actually relevant for us as well, to us as well. So, yeah, we fit into this. We really fit into this. So, and let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about that for a second. Namibia, like many African nations, faces significant economic challenges. Seriously. And we shouldn't sugarcoat that at all. Well, we're talking about higher unemployment. We're talking about reliance on resource export. And we have seen firsthand how the global economic system can be both a lifeline for us and can be also a trap. You know, we have been in both situations. So now the G20 summit, it gives us an opportunity to push for maybe for real debt restructuring mechanisms. So we talked about this, especially when we talk about those international financial companies. So maybe this is the time, it's an opportunity to push for a real debt restructuring mechanism that could actually ease the burden on a country like ours. So it's an opportunity. And we have seen how crippling the debt can be. So just look at the impact of COVID-19 or the fluctuation in commodity prices. So we, you know, and this summit, so this summit could be, maybe could be a turning point for country like ours. But here's a concern, okay? But here's a concern though. While the talk is promising, the real question is whether the G20 will follow through with meaningful action. That has been always the case. That has been always the concern. That has been always the problem. South African leadership is bold. No doubt about that. So they are calling for comprehensive debt restructuring and a fair, more fair financial system for developing nations. That they are pushing that. They're really pushing, they're calling for that comprehensive debt restructuring. It's not fair for Africa, how we are treated, and they're looking for a fair financial system for developing nations. So, but the reality is, reforms to global financial institutions are never easy. And we're going to come back after this.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Make sure that you actually download the Impa. That's one product that you really, that's one app that you should have in your phone. Definitely, it's coming handy. We're getting to December. We're coming to the end of the year. There will be wedding, there will be, you know, services, festive seasons. So, hey, if you have that on your phone, you don't need to worry of carrying so many books. And some of us go to different churches wherever there's a vibe. That's where we go. So you don't need to carry Afrikaans, English, Herero, Nama, Vambu, Rukwangari, Silozi. You don't need to carry that because they're all in one. They're all in one. So make sure that you actually download your Impa app. So it will come in handy. Take it from me. Take it from me. It will definitely come in handy. All right? And you thank me later. Do that. So when it come in handy, come call me. And tell me, yeah, Mike, thank you. Yeah, that's the best advice you have given me, given us. Download Impa, all right? Okay, so we're talking about that as the summit actually the G20 summit taking place in South Africa. South Africa is calling for comprehensive debt restructuring and a fairer, you know, financial system for the African, no, for developing nations, not only African. So now, as I said, the reality is reform global financial institutions are never easy. They are never easy. So institutions like IMF, you know, the World Bank, this institution hold a lot of sway. So, and they historically, and we know that, they favored wealthier, you know, nation that are actually, they're more favored with the wealthier nations. So even when they claim to support developing nations, the condition attached to loans often leave this country, our country, in a circle of dependence, you know. So, yeah, they favored wealthier nation, not developing countries. Maybe this is the time now to start that reform. Which won't be easy. And hopefully we developing countries speak with one voice while these big guns are not there. When the cats are not there, the mouse, well, start to play. Let's do that. So, yeah, let's talk about the climate finance as well. It's also on the agenda. South Africa is pushing for developed nations to fulfill their promises on climate funding. So something that is crucial for African future. So we need that money. We want that money. Okay? But the question is, how realistic is it that those promises will be kept? We're coming a long way. It's becoming now, how would I say it? Routinely, we go there to those summits, the promised way, and nothing has really come our way. You know, So, how realistic that those promises will be kept? Namibia, like other African nations, we are grappling with effects of climate change every year, from drought to unpredictable rainfall patterns nowadays. So we were hoping to receive rain already by this time. It's quite hot. It's terrible hot. You know, as I said, unpredictable rainfall pattern. There's nothing you can predict now that it's going to rain. Those days we can tell. So it's going to rain. It's going to start raining on this month. It's going to end on this month. It's not like that anymore. You know, and we don't even when to start plowing. You don't know when we start to. You know, so yeah, that you can start. Okay? Tate Kaluma is a when on kunda. Tell a lombrani atame go to tushosho. So yeah. So we as I said, for Namibia and many other African countries, really, or nations or developing nations, we are grappling with these issues, with this climate change. And we got it so bad. We really experiencing terrible drought. And last year was even worse. And these patterns that are unpredictable. So our national climate change policy, 2011, and the National Green Climate Fund. So all these policies aim to address these issues, but we need real financial support. We have this document in place, but we got no mula. No money. We got no mula. So we will always be dependent in some way or another. Okay? Now, if the G20 it doesn't come through with concrete funding for climate adaptation, will we have to continue bearing the brunt of a global warming? Of course we will. And we are the one, the country, the continent is the most suffering from this. So, and here's the thing though. If we are truly going to change the way global governance works, it's not just about one summit. Honestly, it's not just about one summit. It's about building a long-term coalition and holding the world leaders accountable. And we see that now. Take, for example, the African Union. The African Union, for instance, you know, it's now a permanent member of the G20, so which gives the continent a strong voice. Okay? So there are movement. So, but those we give them voice, those we give voice, do they really represent us, or they become part of the elite? Okay? Father, tafika posta afra kume. Tafika posta afra. So, and then forget about where they come from. Would they represent that strong voice of the continent? Hopefully so. But as we saw during the COP29, the 30 was this year. So progress can be slow. It can be slow. Are African leaders going to be able to push for a new global order? Are we going to be able to push that for a new global order? Or will their call for equality be drowned out by the economic interest of the global north? It will be determined by what the global north actually want. And we just say, yes, boss, yes, yeah, yes, yes. Yeah, we wanted this, but you the boss. All right? So those are the things. But this is a historic moment for Africa. It's a historic moment for Africa. Or just another meeting. Or it could be just another meeting anyway of talk with little follow-up through. with little follow through. So, and it depends on how much pressure the middle power, I'm talking about the middle power, the like of India, the Brazil, and the South Africa of this world. It depends on them, how much they can exert on the bigger players. Okay? Namibians, we can just bear on the background. But if we have these middle powers that can be able to exert on the bigger players, then there's a chance. So, and whether those big players like now the US and the China of this world will truly step back and allow space for the developing world to lead, well, that's another issue in itself. So we have seen it. We have seen time and again that international summit often end with a vague promises and no real actions. And is this G20 summit going to be different? Is it going to be different? So as we count down to the summit, let's keep a close eye on how this dynamic unfolds. So maybe the absence of the superpower might just give Africa the space it needs to push for the real change. So, but history has taught us to be cautious. So we are cautious. Namibia has a lot at stake in this. Yeah, we have a lot at stake in this, from climate change adaptation to industrial growth and debt relief. So we got a lot in this stake, you know. So this is an opportunity for us to be part of shaping the future. The question is, will our leader be able to seize it? Will we be able to seize that opportunity? Okay, so what do you think? So what do you think? Do you believe Africa can truly shift the balance of power at G20? Can we shift the balance of power at the G20? Or will it just be another missed opportunity? I would like to hear from you. I would like to hear your thought. I would like to hear your reaction. And what do you think about G20? Give us a call. 08-333-66-091. We're talking about G20 summit coming up over the weekend in South Africa.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
All right. Our time is about 43 minutes past the hour of 8. And we're looking at the G20 summit that's coming up over the weekend in Majosi, in the place of gold. So what do you think? So yes, as I said, there's so much stake in this for us as a countries as well, you know, because what is on the table is quite juicy. It's really to our appetite. What is on the table is really to our appetite. So it's about debt sustainability. It's about climate change. It's about food security. These are all things that ring in our ears every day. These are things that we talk on a very daily basis. You know, definitely these are things on our appetite as a nation. So, what is your reaction? What do you think the summit will go without, you know, the big guns? Would someone emerge? Country like, you know, will a stage be set for a more, maybe diverse, conversation, in the absence of the key leaders, like, you know, the Vladimir Putin of this world are not there, the China's, are not there, US is not there. So would that be the stage set now for more maybe diverse conversation, you know? So when you have those other middle power, you have the superpower, and then you have the middle power, maybe taking charge, you know? Who would emerge? Well, remember, China still have a higher representative there. So would they take charge? The power like India, Brazil, and South Africa, and what? And what other? And Europe, and some other country from Europe, you know? So what do you think? 0833-66-091 0833-66-091. So you are welcome to come through and just, you know, what do you think? So what is your take on this? So yeah, and I think we have to trust South Africa, especially for what South Africa put on the table. And let's hope that, you know, they push for the changes that we definitely need. And for us, we also, at this point in time, we are facing a really, really significant economic challenges. Our country is really facing a lot of economic challenges. Talking about high unemployment. So we're talking about the reliance on resource export, one big one. And sometimes this happened because of our debt and all that. So yeah, how the global economic system can be both. We know that how really, you know, a global economy can be, for a country like Namibia, can be good, can be sometimes in our favors, but can be also a trap into this cycle of debt. So yeah, so it is something that's very close to us. So we feel at home in South Africa. So it's our big brother. So hopefully, yeah, we take that opportunity. 0833-66-091. Would this summit, could it be a turning point for developing nations? That's what we're looking at. All right. So give me a call. Let's have a conversation. Otherwise, we go to our second, discussions. 0833-66-091. Talking about the G20 summit coming up in Majosi over the weekend. So when we come back, we get into our second story, if you don't come through.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
All right, our time is about 49 minutes past the hour of 8. So, and we're talking about Namibia, and you probably think, what are you talking about? You misplaced, what is Namibia? You know, then we ask, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who didn't know what had happened recently? Eh? Are you the only stranger? You know, so we refer you to that biblical test. If you are the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know what is actually happening. Now, the government has announced plans to launch a brand new national airline, Namibia Air Pty Limited. Set to take to the skies next financial year. It's about to take to the sky next year. Or next financial year. Now, if you have been around long enough, those words might sound familiar because we have been here before, haven't we? Air Namibia, our old national carrier, was liquidated in 2021. After swirling, you know, after swallowing over 10 billion in losses over the previous decades, over the previous years. So 100 of jobs vanish, poof, in the air. National pride took a hit, so we kind of feel, you know, and especially, you know, politicians, and some route that we have established, you know, the air route that we have established that connected Namibia directly to the wider world, you know, disappeared overnight. So, yet here we are. Here we are again, just 4 years later, with a proposal for a fresh start. So, a fresh start. So, the works and the transport minister says, this time, guys, it's going to be different. It will be different. So, it's going to have leaner staff. We're not going to have so many staff. So it's going to have leaner staff. It's going to be commercial viable, commercial viability. Better decisions. Yeah, that's all. Those are the things that we have been promised. And the opposition voices are calling it a gamble with taxpayers' money. That's a gamble. It's going to be a gamble with taxpayers' money. Eh? So, now, is Namibia A? You know a phoenix? Is Namibia a phoenix rising from the ashes? You know? Or are we boarding a flight again? Are we boarding a flight headed straight into turbulences again? Are we? Let's unpack some of the issues. Let's unpack some of the issues, okay? I'm going to, you know, first let's frame the facts. Let's look at the fact. Namibia Air will be, well, according to the minister. So, I'm just relating what the minister said. So Namibia Air, I would love Namib Air. At least, you know, Namib Air would be, you know, reflect on Namib Desert. Namibia Air. Okay. I can take that. Namibia Air will be fully owned by the state. What does that mean? Fully owned by the state would be the state just pumping in money, you know. Would we expect that it would be profitable? What does that mean? All right. Maybe you understand. So fully owned by the state, registered locally. So there is already an interim board of 7 members who actually appointed them. So we're already thinking, who appointed this? Are they politically appointed? All right. So, 7 members plus 3 attendants. That's what we hear. So the market analysis and traffic forecasts are underway. These are all underway. So the plan is to make decision on now. There will be now a plan to make a decision on whether we'll be leasing the planes or are we buying the planes after a commercial study. So there will be some kind of a commercial study and then to decide now whether we're leasing or we're buying planes. So now the government say it wants to link Namibia. Now, this is done now in a broader goal of the country, you know. So the government say it wants to link Namibia to regional hubs, you know, boost trade under the African Continental Free Trade Area and draw. We want to draw tourism. All right. It's kind of like seeing your neighbor, you know, having a shining toys and you kind of like, I want that. But have you considered where you're coming from? You know, have you look at where your house and, you know, and there what you have to be able to afford that and all that. So I don't just see a shining toy and said, "Eat Christmas, I want that toy too." All right. So the government is presenting this as a part of the broader international development picture, in line with Vision 2030 and NDP 6. NDP 6 emphasizes on infrastructure and economic diversification. So how would I forget that word? Diversification, yeah? And economic diversification. So that's the buzzword. You can't forget. Every time, everywhere, just throw in economic diversification. Okay? Whatever you're saying, whenever you find yourself, you know, talking in public, always throw in economic diversification. Then you are talking. Okay? Then you are talking. You know? It's easy to follow these guys, you know? It becomes, they are those words becomes just a buzzword and you can throw it in any, you know? At one point, there was like, you know, women and children. That's kind of like everything, violence against women and children. There was time that is the buzzword. Everywhere you throw that in. There was also time when HIV and AIDS is the buzzword, you know. Yeah, you throw that in. So in whatever speech that you make, yeah. Now, economic diversification is one of those words that you need to, no matter where you're speaking, throw that in. And then you sound smart. I need to do that to sound smart, guys. So, economic diversification. So, all right. So, now, when we look at this, sound neat on paper. I mean, when we have this, and this, for us, we have things on it. For Namibia, you can't fold us. On paper, our things are, you know, so but if you have been following our politics and economy and economics long enough, you will know that neat on paper, it doesn't always translate to neat in reality. It doesn't always translate to neat in reality. Well, you can talk about enemy before, for example, neat on paper, but was it neat in reality? So yeah. So talking of Air Namibia, so we can talk about Namibia. We can't talk about Namibia without revisiting what went wrong with Air Namibia. So give us a little bit of time then to talk about that, at least, you know. And what went wrong? Air Namibia woes went simply bad, kind of bad luck. That was just a bad luck. No. It was not a bad luck. They were structural. Now, if they were structural, now you kind of think, okay, have we dealt with that? Now that we're thinking of another airline. So have we done due diligence? All right. Well, there are those who just trust what the boss say. Okay. They must have done that. And then the end in 10 years, you know, we end up in the same way we were. Money's gone. Poof. We didn't get schools. Our children still don't have books. The money went into Namibia, which is now no longer, you know, functioning. And we didn't have, you know, all those years, we didn't have, you know, medicine in clinics because the money went in Namibia. So, you understand? 10 years later, 5 years later, we start where we are. We just stop where we started. Well, could be different. So, now, as I said, what happened to Namibia was not actually a bad luck. It was not just, well, it was a bad luck. No, it was structural. There were issues. One, overstaffing. One, we know that overstaffing have drained the payroll. There were too many staff. Some were redundant. They were just collecting cash. They were just collecting check, you know, at the end of the month. So that's one thing. And that's why now the minister said it will be leaner staff. You know, it will be a leaner staffing. But that causes another problem. Now, when you talk about leaner staff, it could be those people will be overworked. They will be doing too much work that could be done by five people. Now one person is doing the job of five people. And, you know, what happened? So it's not just as simple as that. Okay. Overstaffing was one of the issues, structural issues that need to, you know, to be looked at. And you talk about, yes, it's going to be leaner. All right. Now, the other thing is the expensive aircraft leasing contract. So the leasing contract was very, very, very expensive, locked the airline into debt without delivering profitability. There was just too much debt, but there was no profit at all. All right? There was no profit. How are we going to go about this now? Are we going to leasing? They're looking at whether we're going to buy or we're going to lease. I'm buying a new plane. That's going to be a couple of millions. So, and if you do that, you better make sure that, you know, you are delivering profitability. So, because you're taking money away that you could be used for pressing issues that we are facing right now. So make sure that when you do that, you guaranteed delivering profitability. Guaranteed. Eh? Not we hope, you know, this is, we think that this, no. Guaranteed. So the other issue was political interference. So political interference meant decisions were not purely commercial. Sometimes they were about prestige and politics. That's why we're talking the seven board member, interim board. Now, who have appointed them? What the process that has been followed? So those are the things. So were they politically appointed or they were commercially appointed? Were they appointed by a body that looking at the commercial aspect of this or just, you know. So the other issue, you see, these are issues that before that actually, as I said, lesson from history, you know, these are the issues that put Namibia into the dungeons. Eh? So the other is revenue versus costs. So the airlines simply never closed that gap. They never closed that gap. So some routes were, you know, when some routes that were taken were just prestige driven, not profit driven. Hopefully that won't be the same. So we certain route that we took, not because they were profit driven, but because they were prestige driven. So there was, and this is a problem in Namibia, weak accountability. There have been multiple turnaround as long as I lived, you know, there were multiple turnaround strategies that never actually stuck. Those multiple turnaround strategies never really stuck because there were no consequences for poor management. There was, we have heard from Namibia, you know, being, you know, what, arrested or anything at all. Weak accountability. Weak accountability. So, yeah. All right. So those are some of the things. Those are some of the of the things that that you know crumbled that make Namibia actually goes down. Okay. Someone saying, Dr. you know, Kakuyaha Matundu is saying, good morning, Mike. You don't hire management or board that specializing in in wheelbarrows to run an airline. yeah, that's very true, doctor. So the doctor said, "No, you don't hire. You know exactly. That's the thing. You don't you don't have management and board that specialize in wheelbarrow. You know to run the airline. Definitely not." And in this case, that's, we, previously, though, those seem to be the case sometimes, you know? Yeah. So, and, Air Namibia was established in 1947, nationalized in 1986, but the 2000s, the crack were obvious. The crack were obvious. By the time liquidation came in 2021, the losses had topped 10 billion. You know, 10 billion. Let's see who is knocking on my door. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Yeah. Kama tundo. yeah, no, he's good. He's observing those things. He's a lecturer, this guy, ne?
Yeah, he used to, yeah. I don't know whether he retired now, but he's, yeah, he used to.
yeah, he was so that we did the community that the market, he was pointing out those things. yeah, political appointee, just expecting them to benefit from the salary.
Exactly.
Not benefiting from the profit. Okay, G20 summit, yeah.
Yeah.
The G20 summit nowadays have nothing to offer like before. Yeah, because the new products that are coming in have a small role to play.
Yeah,
the players, they are not a lot. And if you look at where they are today, most of the best in there in United States. So it's not a surprise to say why Trump is boycotting the G20. It's because them, they know.
Yeah.
They have no market in Africa yet. Maybe by 2025. But the market that they want to innovate is in the United States.
Yeah.
And the big proportion of percentage in Europe. So those are the problems that we are talking about AI, we are talking about the process chips that they can run in computers. Yeah, most of all these things they are making in the United States. And it's very expensive to running those things. You see now the issue of the data center storage is also needing to be in the United States. You need the land that is protected. And those are players who are saving those things and they are not in Africa. So because Africa, we are entertaining these bad genes like Islam and those terrorists, what. So we have a lot that we are losing here. Yeah, but because the commodities, the production that is selling now, is those one, as I said, the app, the service that we are getting, we are not controlling it anymore.
Yeah.
And Chinese knows that what they want. If you look at the Chinese consumer, for example,
yeah,
the economy of China is going down because Chinese, they don't spend. That's what in the problem comes. If you're comparing China with India, India is, people are more spending today than in China. In China, even just processing product, and people are not buying it. They don't buy biscuit. They prefer to buy
tequila. That's why they end up in you know, dumped into our stores. Yeah.
Yeah, into our, okay. And for them now, you think what is president of China to sending a representative, because he knows if America's market is not there.
Yeah.
They will know where to go in China, because if you look at the aluminium manufacturer in China, they are also losing customs because the European is not ordering because of the closing doors of Americans' market.
Mm.
So there are no way they can send in their product. Africa, they don't have a manufacturer to say buying those aluminium or iron metals or whatever metals are needed into the market.
Yeah.
We are depending on those guys, and they are boycotting because they want to innovate it in their market. How to make it conducive, because they have to starting on their countries. They have to changing the model of come up with a new product, new computers and get rid of the other discontinuing thing.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that the G20 is not look at, and G20 is not really wake up. Yeah, Trump was looking for an excuse into boycotting this.
Mm.
But in economic terms, and if you look at when he was sitting with the big tech of United States, they discussing all of this issue. Are we best? Are we good in the market? They said, yes, we are the best.
Yeah.
And if you look at the AI, for example, if you look at when Chinese was introducing this DeepSeek, yeah, those who are looking near, they were thinking the DeepSeek and replacing ChatGPT. But after that, they saw that ChatGPT is still on top, and now this Atlas, for the AI is also doing best. Yeah. So those are the things that we need to know. The market now is not, it's on the big tech. And yeah, this big tech, we don't have it. Even in South Africa, we don't have more big companies that are praying Lord to saving the world. Those guys, they're already moving out of South Africa.
Yeah.
In some of these big companies, like the partner of Tencent, their headquarters is now, I think it's Holland or Sweden, some one of those two countries. So those are the problems that Africa have nothing to offer, even to China. We don't have a market for Chinese. Yeah. So the Chinese here, what they are benefiting is just to getting our raw materials, which is we are making it a big issue to say, yeah, this is starting processing or manufacture here. Where are you going to get those type of people? That's a big lie. You must come up with something that you know these people will wonder. But if you are just telling us, you know, the one bar of gold.
Yeah.
You know how much it's making in terms of final product? They're making about $20 million.
Yeah.
One bar. Eh? So how do you expect that your gold is worth much? If this company is just buying one gold, if you look at those Rolls-Royce cars, they have all luxury things, but when they get here, they get here in a small quantity, and they make it big as themselves.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that Africa need to discuss in issues. And the issue that Africa needs is money. And those guys, they are controlled by the United States. IMF, World Bank, yeah. This is more companies like RMB Bank. They are controlled by those Americans. They cannot lend their money that well. They know the political stability is not good in this country. And those are the things that I'm warning people, especially this is our party to starting get reading of, I mean, negotiating with the kids, with this veteran kids or things that they are boarding on exam.
The other thing is that when we the developing countries, when we're looking at, we kind of like, okay, there's a club there. We want to get into the club because of the global inclusiveness and fairness. So we want to get into the club that has been already established. But a country like, I mean, a continent like Africa, why wouldn't we actually create even a bigger club economically and even in terms of leadership, in terms of now the number of country that would involve, which actually can then talk at the same level like G20 or whatever other clubs that are there. So when we're looking at that club and we want to be in that club, you know, it's unfair, you know, that we are not in that club. And
but you are not contributed anything.
Exactly.
That is what I'm saying. If you look at the big club, South Africa messed up this continent.
Yeah.
Because he was good at the time because he was having a lot to offer. Yeah. And that is what our founding president was looking at it, that no, better to adopting some of these policies so that you can be competing with the world.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, South Africa is the one who messed up with those investors that they were there. So at the end of the day, if you look at now the big players like Arika Dakota now, who is in he is alone fighting. And the government is not supporting, African government, they are not supporting him to say, no, let us stand in for this guy because he is risking his money to develop Africa. But us now here, you are crying, you want to cry to getting money from IMF or from some investors.
But in actual fact, we have long-term plans, but we don't have financial commitment to making sure that those happen.
You see now.
Yeah.
That is the problem we have. Now you are inviting Arika Dakota to come and setting up a bank. For what?
Yeah.
To come and make profit in your country or what? Get the money and giving us the project that you wanted to be funded. And then you will start making money. You will start turning to the world. But we don't have this. And in the politics term of that, what is now undermining us is like the way this UK or European people are talking about that, no, Africa starting making, starting controlling this immigrant flocking of us. So those are the things that I'm saying. The excuses are there, people are running away, taking advantage of what you are letting your countries be. Because this is Swapo headquarters where those kids are sleeping. Somebody just end up saying, no, I've been sleeping there for 5 years. So now I'm tired. I wanted to go to Europe where I can breathe. You see now?
Yeah.
It's already getting a political asylum because of that.
Yeah.
And they are finding their political thing in Africa, in your country. But because of what? You are not discussing. You are ignoring this rooming of these kids in the street. So we, all of those things are still an impact of economic activity.
Yeah.
Are still not making you, because somebody is getting a loophole to criticizing you. You understand?
Yeah.
So those are the problems that we have. Let us see. There is nothing come out of G20 in Johannesburg. Because of what? Because we have nothing to offer to the world.
Especially for Africa, like in other, in other G summit as well. So, yeah. So at least we put issues on the table at this time, but what we have to offer, as you're saying, you know, that's not entirely true that we have nothing to offer. It's just that we're not organized in the way that we are competitive. You know.
But Mike, for you to understand that we have nothing to offer is that the natural resources that we have, we are not competing. Our minds are not competing with other minds in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
This EPR that we are issued to our Namibians who are having only one door, which is Chinese, they are bribed this EPL holders to getting money out of that. You understand?
Yeah.
You're selling the whole thing. The Chinese are easy to go and looking somebody in Europe. Says, no, I'm already getting the money while you are struggling to get it. I'm already getting the money because of our government.
Yeah.
Have a good relationship with Namibia. So I got already an EPL. What do you need? No, I need the magnet. So we'll get it in a few months' time.
Yeah.
You see now. So those are that. As I say, there is no Americans. They know that they will getting African resources through somebody.
Mm.
Because Chinese, no matter how they routing Africa, they don't have big market as America. So them there now, America, that's why being president of China, wants a relationship with America.
Yeah.
That is what he's fighting every day. That's what everywhere American president is. Chinese government trying, making sure that they are also on that table. Those are the issues that we need to understand. Those are the issues that we need to address in ourselves. That who are we doing business with? What are they bring in our country?
Yeah.
Nothing. Those are the problems I'm saying. Let us hear, but there's nothing to offer. It's only projections that we need money to what ABCD.
Yeah. Eh?
That is the story of talking about climate change. Climate change, yes, we can discuss about. You were in Brazil last week. Now we're wanting to put it again into the big industrial countries. Yes, they understand. But let us talk about the G20 contents that is always in there.
Yeah.
So as I said, the tech industry is the one that is controlling that. It's making most people difficult to trade nowadays.
Yeah.
Because or everything, the communication that we have here is not on our hand anymore. And you cannot work without internet. Why? Because these guys, they make it.
Yeah, exactly.
Those times we were just having a flash disk. you connect it, you start doing your job. But now they ask you to be online.
Yeah.
So, Mike.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Yeah.
Our 8333-66091. If you still actually want to talk about G20, or the topic we have at hand, the Namibia, okay, the new national carrier that's actually in the pipelines, that's already now in the pipelines, and we're looking at the lessons. We're looking at that without really now, when we're looking ahead to a new, Namibia Air. So what are the lessons from the history? And we looked at, some of the issues that, like overstaffing, expensive aircraft leasing contracts, political interference, revenues and the airline simply never closed that gap between, revenue and cost. So we talked about the weak accountability. So, yeah, and now here is the analytical point, if you want, that if we are launching now, if we are launching Namibia Air, without publicly showing how those issues will be structurally avoided. So we need to show now that these issues will be structurally avoided under the abiding policy and law. I think we just risk repeating history. We need that publicly showing how those issues will be structurally. We see that that this is how it's going to be avoided. So not just talking about it. We will be careful this time. This time we'll be careful. Excuse me. Careful doesn't pay the bills. Okay? All right. So definitely. Now, but talking of the bill, let's talk money. Let's talk about money because this is public money. Okay? This is public money. Namibia's budget is already stretched. Seriously. you know, it's already stretched. We have pressing needs in housing. We were talking about housing the other day, was the day before yesterday, you know, housing, healthcare, unemployment reduction. We have really, really, really pressing needs, you know. So would this be the time to, you know, just have another airline? Is this is a pressing, really? Is this a pressing needs? Well, according to the latest budget data, the fiscal deficit hovers over 4% of GDP. 4% of GDP. That means every dollar we spend on one priority is a dollar we can't spend somewhere else. Okay? Airlines, they are not cheap. Absolutely, they are not cheap. I'm not in that, but I know they are not cheap. Okay? So aircraft leasing can run to 100 if you choose not to to aircraft listing now. So that can run to 100 of thousand of US dollars per month per plane. Plus you have a crew to train, you have a maintenance, you have insurance, you have airport fees, all this, you know. So seriously, is this a pressing issue? And I said, we have at this point in time, we have really pressing needs. Housing, for example. Would, if I have a couple of million, would you put it, if you have this couple of million available to, would you put it in housing, or would you buy a plane? Or would you put in actually revive Namibia Air? Eh? What would you do if you were, I have this couple of million now, or I actually have to take, it's not you don't, you have, it doesn't just come anyway. So it means I have to take money somewhere which in one priority, you know, which is also a priority, where I will deny, you know, a clinic to have medicines, where I will deny children to have textbooks, where I will deny, you know, a road to be built, and I will actually put in reviving, you know, I will put in reviving Namibia Air. Would you do that? So, as I said, there's so many things that as I said, it's not just about whether now you buy a plane, you lease the plane, you will have crew to train, there will be maintenance. You know this. So, now the minister says they will be careful this time. That's the guarantee. No, they will be careful this time. But being careful is not a strategy. Where have you ever seen a strategy? No, we got a strategy. What is the strategy, sir? No, we're going to be careful. Yeah? So no, the strategy is that we're going to be careful this time. Okay? Is that a strategy? That's a promise. Eh? That's a promise. That's all what we got. It's a promise that we got. That's all what we got. So remember, we have the Public Enterprises Governance Act. And without a strong Public Enterprises Governance Act enforcement, the enforcement framework, plus the transparent reporting to the, because there was also apparently a transport reporting to the parliament. So without those strong Public Enterprises Governance Act being reinforced, and plus the transparent reporting to the parliament, these are just word. Absolutely just word. Actually, just promise. Now, let's challenge this. Now, the government say Namibia Air will boost GDP. Now, so based on what really? Okay, we cannot say it's based on Air Namibia. We can't make a reference to that because that has never happened. So it will boost tourism. Did it happen with Air Namibia? it will boost job. Did it happen with Air Namibia? Where all this actually, what is the reference? True, yes, but it's also true that an efficient national carrier or an efficient national airline can have multiplier effect, can actually have a multiplier effect. It can have a multiplier effect. We know, we see some other airline doing that. But that only happen if the airline itself is profitable or at least sustainable. Okay? We're coming back after this.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetwa weza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu weriro ngere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba mona ovyu nedia peke kwa gondola mirongo vitatu no hambu umwe stoo kwika ovinki no kukara no rupa mondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva olo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva olo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano Kumiyeze umurongo na vivari moshimarifu. Itororela ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina wanyano kife. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maorongane no uyebu haka enina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
Omutiha utekiru waka guna ima.
Alright, welcome back. So our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 9. We go up to 10 o'clock, where we hand over to the Tech France in Kuthamosha. All right, Charles. Yeah, we unpacking the Namibia Air. I would have preferred Namib Air. And we're talking about that. Well, what is our strategy? Our strategy is that, you know, we will be careful this time. So that's our strategy. So that's our strategy, so that we will be careful this time. And as I said, that's not a strategy, that's a promise. So there are a number of things that has to be in place. And I talked earlier on that if that is not public, those structural issues that, you know, that put down or that actually make Air Namibia Airline and Air Namibia go down, if they are not really... you know, if we can't see how that's going to be avoided. So the history will repeat itself. Okay, 10 years after now, we will be sitting here, you know, talking exactly the same thing. Who guarantees us that? Who guarantees us that we won't be able to talk about that? But we said, yes, you know, if an airline is actually run, it's an efficient national airline can have a multiplier effect. It can have a multiplier effect, but that only happened when the airline itself, as I said, it's profitable and or at least it's sustainable. At least. So, but what if it's constantly needing bailout? Yeah? If it's constantly needing bailout, I think this is a rescue mission rather than actually, you know, an economic enterprise. So the other thing, maybe the other thing that we need to look at, I want you to think, Namibia is not, it's actually realistically looking at the geographically and also market realities also. I have traveled. I did travel. And you can tell, you can say Namibia is not Nigeria. Okay? We don't have the population like, the population size to guarantee, even domestically, to guarantee a higher domestic passenger volumes. Now, our nearest big market is South Africa and Angola. So those are our nearest big market. But these, South Africa and Angola, already have strong carriers. They already have strong carriers. On long-haul routes, we're competing with the giants now. This is now, we will be competing, and we know that, competing with the giants like the Ethiopian Airlines, the Emirates of this world. So how do we curve, you know, what do they say in the marketing? How do we curve a niche, you know, for now Namibia Air? Eh? So, well, some aviation experts say Namibia could position itself as a specialized hub, a center for tourism for certain regional cargo corridors, okay, or stopover on Southern Africa and Europe routes. Now, that's a smart thinking. I think that's a very smart thinking. But it needs a precise research business. So research, some kind of researched business model, not we will see approach, not the some kind of like, as we see now, we will see approach. We will see now whether we lease or we, whether we will lease planes or we buy planes. That's we will see approach. Up to, you can tell. Eh? That would require actually a research business model. And then when you come to us, talk to us, you kind of have all, you have covered already the loopholes, but it doesn't look that way. So we have this approach. We will see, okay? And the strategies, we will be careful. That's all what you got, okay? Now, if the focus is on Africa, continental free trade area, trade, then cargo services might actually be steadier. There would be much more steadier revenue, I think. The aviation experts, some of the aviation experts saying, so that would be more a steadier revenue stream than passenger flights. So maybe that's where we need to look at. So maybe that's the hidden angle in this conversation. We always talk about passengers, but freight is where sustainable margin often lie. So maybe that's a direction that we need to look at. Now, one of the opposition key points is that they are, and they are right to raise it, is that the failure of Air Namibia, It wasn't about the existence of a national airline. It was about how it was run. That was the failure. How it was run. It's not about the existence of national airline. It was how it was run. So Namibia has a state-owned enterprise governance act, and it also have public procurement act. This document and these facilities, if you like, in theory ensure transparent contracting, competitive bidding, and performance accountability for management. But you know what the disease that we have in Namibia? Enforcement is often sometimes non-existent. Otherwise, it could be patchy as well. You know? So, if Namibia Air's leadership isn't insulated from direct political instructions, the risk of inflated contracts and rush deals goes up fast. That's going to go up fast. So, we have seen how prestige projects, you know, in the past can lead to decision made for, you know, appearance rather than actually economics. That happened in the past with Air Namibia. So decisions were made for appearance and not for economic reasons. So if the government insists now, which it does, I don't think that it's going to reverse it back, its decision back. So if the government insists on reviving the national airline, what would give it a fighting chance? you know, looking at what happened to Air Namibia, what would it giving a fighting chance? So, one, given what other experts are saying is that there must be an independence of management run by aviation professional, people who knows, okay, not political appointees. Please, if lawmakers are listening, this is what actually Dr. Matundi is actually saying. Eh? You can't have actually... So that's what he's saying, that you can't have, you can't hire management and board that are specialized in wheelbarrow, you know, to run actually the airline. So you can't have that. So if this have a chance, if it just have a chance really to, so experts are saying you need independence of management. Run by aviation professional and not by people that are appointed through political way, you know. They are not political appointees. And then, so there is also, which also the minister had mentioned, that there will be a quarterly report to parliament. So, but I would say that, you know, this transparent financials is that it should be also accessible to the public, so that we can be able, that like platform like this can be able now to, you know, to bring this to you, so that you understand, we need to. No more under the tables, or, you know, it's just, we need that it becomes, the quarterly report to the parliament become accessible to the public. So that we communicate to you to understand what is going on. So the other thing has been, as we said, there has been some routes that were for prestige reason rather than economic reasons. Now, I think we need to plan commercial route plan. I mean, we need to plan the commercial route. Focus on profitable or strategically valuable routes only. Not prestige one, not prestige driven one. So, not just to satisfy, you know, the bosses, okay? Commercial, you know, or strategically valuable routes only, not prestige one. So there are those who also then with opinion that maybe we need to diversify the revenue stream in terms of this cargo plus also passenger mix. We have to have that mix, cargo, you know, and, you know, plus passengers as well. Maybe that would be the way, would suit us better given the competition that we have, you know. And they also said partnership with other airlines to share risk and resources. That would be maybe the way to go. Clear performance goal. They should be, at the beginning, there should be really clear performance goals tied to funding, okay? So these are the goal, these are the funding, you know? If the goals, you know, and we can evaluate whether those goals have been fulfilled or not. So these are practical, measurable, steps, maybe that, you know, that Air Namibia or Namibia Air, Namibia Air need to look at before, the lesson we need to learn from the previous one. Anything less, it's just a hope. Anything less than some of the things that we talk about, some people say it's just a hope. Okay? So, yeah, your role, listeners, my dear listeners, this affects you directly. It does affect you directly. The money that will start Namibia Air is public money. It affects you directly. So that's why you need to get involved in this kind of debate. The fares will pay, the destination we will have access to, the job that might be created, all part of our national conversation. Those are all part of our national conversation. if we don't demand clarity now, eh? So if we don't demand clarity now, we can't complain later when the bill arrives. Okay? Later when now in 10 years when the bill arrives of 10 billion, you know, debt. So we shouldn't complain. We shouldn't complain. All right. So what is your take at the new national carrier that is in the pipeline? Would probably all this will be in motion in the next financial year. So what do you think about it? What do you think about that? Let's, as I said, take part in this debate because it affects you. It also affects you directly. 08333 11 08333, what am I talking? 08333 66091 08333 66091. All right. So what do you think? Yeah, we slowly coming towards the end of the year, and everything goes slowly. You know, everything goes very, very, very slow. People are already, actually, people are at work, but they already knocked off. They're already on holiday. It's even when people, when you call them, those some of the people that you want to talk to them, they're already out of office. They are completely out of office, you know. They're just looking at a few weeks. Oh, it's only about this number of weeks now, and then I'm gone, you know. They're out. Their mind is not in the office anymore. So I can understand that. But we gotta do what we gotta do. All right. We got to do what we got to do here. We got to keep you informed. We got to keep you educated. We got to keep you, you know, we got to keep you alert. You know, be on your toes. What is happening in your country, and be informed, and also just, you know, eject you up a little bit, you know, for you to think and disturb you a little bit with some questions so that, you know, you can get excited or you can get angry. That's what we do. Eh? So that's what we want. We want to spark that conversations that you don't want to have. Conversations that you don't want to have because it's very important. You know? So, yeah. So what we talked about, it's reviving. We're looking at a reviving of national airline, which is neither, for me, it's neither an automatically foolish nor automatically wise. That's where I stand. It's neither automatically foolish nor automatically wise as well. Okay? It is a higher risk venture that can pay off. Eh? It can pay off. It's a higher risk venture that can pay off, but only with professional management, transparency, and clear economic niche. You know? It's only when it's that. So, and still not guaranteed. Okay? So Namibia Air could fly. It could fly us into a new era of connectivity. Or it could actually take us back into the same storm we barely survived. Eh? It could take us back there. So the choice isn't just in the government's hand. That's why we bring you these things up to here. So we hope that you're a lawmaker or you are, you know, it is in ours. It's also in our citizens. It is in our hands as our citizens through the question we ask now. All right? Through the question we are asking now. I want to hear your thoughts. What is your thoughts? Is Namibia Air, Namibia Air, the right move? Do you think that's the right move? Or are we gambling with the national wallet? Eh? Are we gambling with our national wallet? So, join the conversation, 08333 66091. Very good morning.
Yeah, Mike. Good morning. How are you doing, boy?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Good, man.
Mm.
the new
Namibia Air. I wanted Namibia Air. I wanted Namibia Air. Namibia Air would be nice.
Yeah, it can also be nice. Namibia Air, yeah.
Namibia Air, rather Namibia Air, you know?
Yeah. You know, there are those who are able to build, and those that are also able to brick. You know, the Air Namibia itself.
Yeah.
One of the factors that ran Air Namibia down was the board of directors.
Yeah. Management.
Yeah, the management, the board of directors. They serve those entities with their own interest, not the interests of the nations or the entity itself.
Depending who appoints them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, to me, it seems that somehow, sometimes the board of directors are actually given more power.
Yeah.
And then, since they also have interest of their own in that entity, when the one that is actually appointed does not do what they actually want him to do, they'll find a way to, in order to have that person suspended.
Yeah.
This happened to Trans Namibia and also twice to Air Namibia, whereby a CEO or a director is fired or suspended and end up subsequently fired. And then these persons will go to court, win the case, and then when the company is found guilty of dismissing these persons inappropriately, the entity itself is required to pay that person out.
So many millions. Yeah.
So many millions. You see, and this is the problem. The court case and all those things. But the people, the board of directors, are not held accountable for these things. I think there should be a law whereby if a CEO is fired and then is not found guilty, those that fired these persons must be held accountable. If that person is to be paid, then this board of directors, they must pay themselves.
And what kind of business model is it now when it's completely owned by the government?
What do you mean by that?
The airline would be completely owned by the government.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'm asking now what type of business model that would be. Would the government expect that this would be a profitable kind of a business that they're looking at, or it would be just maybe a kind of an institution that the government put money into for it to run and be able to be like a service kind of providing to the government and to the nations?
I had a relative who was very, very close to Air Namibia.
Yeah.
And he tells me that Air Namibia was making money. Yeah. But the biggest problem was also that most of the government employees, the directors, the whatever, all those elite, they would fly without pay.
You see? Mm.
That was the problem. And then the problem of a CEO who is actually working nice, but is not in good terms with the board of directors, because the CEO does not meet the needs of the board of directors of their own interest. Those were the problems.
Yeah,
rebate things and all those things. And then, you see, the Air Namibia itself does make money, because I was even able to see the papers and all those things.
Yeah.
This person was but very, very close and able to the airline, higher positions.
Yeah, the airline really struggled to close that gap, the gap between revenues and the cost. So as much as it made money, the money actually, there was overstaffing, you know, and the the overstaffing actually drained the payroll. It could be that.
Well, you know, Mike, what those people were actually telling us, they were not even telling us those things on the papers.
Yeah.
They were just going out there to the media and explain as to how the airline is draining the government.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, there were those with the interest to privatize the airlines.
Yeah.
You remember that, when the previous or the late president comes, he introduced free market.
Mm.
And then he introduced public private partnership.
Yeah.
And that was actually, you know, if you follow that policy, it's an American policy, the Western policies, whereby the airlines in countries are not owned by the government, but by the private. And that is what they wanted.
Mm.
Starting from those companies, government
so
entities must be private.
Cynically, they wanted to push it to a point where the government decided, okay, maybe need to be privatized. There has been actually, even in the parliament, there has been some lawmakers that wanted actually this to be privatized. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm.
So this it was actually going along with a system that has been introduced.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not because it went bankrupt, because it cannot be paid. Those things were actually made deliberately in order for the airlines to look like struggling and so on. But the airline itself was not struggling. If those people could have paid the money, the airline would just be all right.
Yeah,
that is the problem. Look at Trans Namib.
Mm-hmm.
If you go in Trans Namib right now, you'll be ashamed of you, especially us being black.
Yeah.
Hmm? You'll be ashamed. The receiving department is completely empty. There is nothing that Trans Namib is actually receiving there. What happened to it?
Hmm.
Eh? What happened?
Yeah.
It is people with their own interests. I mean, the whole system is completely wrong. The way this history, this system is actually being run, it's completely wrong.
Sometimes
people who get money go to China and spend more money on their own entity, on their own things, in their private businesses, and then they got their kickback, and then you see those kind of things, and then they go and buy farmers, they go and buy trucks and bus and do their own business instead of running the entities of the government.
Yeah.
It is us. When I go there and look at that, I somehow goes along with or align with one white man who said, perhaps maybe specifically in Namibia, black cannot rule themselves. But that is not the case.
You know, that's,
they are that's not very the much case, educated but people that are actually wrong. They don't care about the government entities. They just don't care. When they go and present the entities or the government, there is this what they call what is in there for me, 75% for him and 25% for the government.
By chance for the government.
Yeah. You see?
Yeah.
That is the problem that we are having, and these things need to be rooted out. A law must be created by, you said, if you fire somebody and then this person went to court, if the court did not find this person wrong, obviously you that fired the person must be held accountable and you must pay. You must pay that person back. This 4 or 5 million that we are paying, and then it's the same person and then another one, and again, it just doesn't work like that.
Yeah. I also have come to point where we really don't have the technical know-how, seriously.
Now, take this to NAMCO.
Mm.
When they were saying, yeah, NAMCO is bankrupt and it's about to be liquidated, there's an offshore countries outside, they're asking NAMCO to pay. And look at what is happening.
Mm.
Look at what happened. Those who were actually advising, telling people that NAMCO, whatever, is not viable enough, it should be liquidated, it should be privatized, they are the one who are actually in prison today.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, these are the things that we have to be very careful with. People who come because apparently they've got degrees, he has been there for 20 years, he knows the market, and they will lie to you. But the person is lying to you because he's got interest.
Yeah.
Mm. They want, and the outsiders, the foreign influences, the foreign interests, they come there and say, look, you must just run this company, this and this and this and this and this and this. Because they know these are companies that carries the weight
exactly.
of the country's
yeah.
economy.
Yeah.
They know. And because they want the countries to depend on private entities or to carry the economies of the country itself. So they want this. They run this company on the ground.
Hmm.
Yeah. When they go there for meeting, no, why are you running like this? Do it like this. Do it like this. You see?
Yeah. Well.
But anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through, and that's bring us actually to the end of the show as well. So thanks for coming through.
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right. Mm. Bye.
All right. Our time is actually OptiCop, 10 o'clock. OptiCop. And that bring us to the end of unpacking the day today. So thank you for being part of the show, and also for those who actually come through, and for contributing, and for you listening, and so let's do that tomorrow again. We're gonna do that tomorrow again at the same time here on your favorite show, on a favorite radio station, Eagle FM. So let me leave you and say goodbye, and leave you in the hand of Tate France, coming to you with Kuthamosha. So make sure that you cross to Windhoek. All right. Goodbye for now. Until tomorrow.